Kicking off another brand new hour of the Steve Gruber Show. Good to have you here. Coming to you live from Studio G in the heart of America. I'm Steve Gruber, fighting for you from the foxhole of freedom. I'm going to tell you the truth. Even if it hurts, sometimes it's good for you. God bless America. Let's roll. Here are three big things you need to know to start this hour. Number one, in Charlotte, North Carolina, the investigation full swing after numerous police officers were gunned down, several killed, including three U.S. Marshals. I'll have an update. Number two, Ford Motor Company getting pulled into financial ruin along with other companies that put all of their eggs in the EV basket, the company reporting billions of dollars in losses and is shifting to something new. And number three, the stage for the Columbia War has now been set after the administration at the far-left New York City Ivy League school issued another meaningless deadline. The school had given the students and faculty members supporting Hamas and screaming anti-Israel and anti-Semitic rants until 2 p.m. Monday afternoon to clear off their campus, to get rid of the encampment. But once again, nothing happened when the deadline of 2 o'clock came and went. The New York City police stood there waiting for instructions that never came, and instead they watched as hundreds of new protesters streamed onto campus, instead reinforcing the encampment. And this sets the stage for a long and violent encounter when the university finally is forced to move in and take out the trash. And just as I have been predicting, the anti-Semitic mob took its cue from the weak administration and no response from police and moved overnight to seize a building on campus, smashing windows and barricading the entrances. Hamilton Hall was the target of the attack, the building where the dean is housed. The takeover also involved the holding of a hostage for a while, a university employee, finally allowed to leave after screaming at protesters. He was there working in the building after hours. Yes, the battle lines have been drawn. 21 House Democrats on Monday issued a demand for Columbia to clear the campus because in their demand letter, they explained that the Columbia administration had tacitly acknowledged that the encampment had created an impermissibly hostile and unsafe environment for Jewish students by resorting to hybrid learning, appearing to violate Title VI of the Civil Rights Code. In other words, instead of solving the root cause of discrimination and harassment that students faced on the campus, the administration decided to segregate some students from campus altogether, which naturally created an unsafe environment for all students. That's what the Democrats concluded, but this is just a small faction of the Democrats. Many others are openly hostile to Israel and to Jewish people in general, and this is the holy war that is tearing the left apart. I've been telling you this holy war would wreak havoc on the Democrat Party before November, ever since the lines of division began to appear after those October 7th terrorist attacks in Israel. Former Congressman
right now, wait.
Ted Deutch slammed Bernie Sanders and AOC as they deny the war on Jews in America. Here's part of what he said.
Right now, what Netanyahu's right-wing, extremist, and racist government is doing is unprecedented in the modern history of warfare. Right now, we are looking at the possibility of mass starvation and famine in Gaza. When you make those charges, that is not anti-Semitic. That is a reality.
I want to get your reaction to what the senator said.
Yeah, I don't need Senator Sanders to lecture me about the reality of what's happening on college campuses. I spent time with students from Columbia, from Rutgers, from Brown last week, and it is not peaceful protests that has people screaming for more 10-7s, a 10-7 every day, 1,000 10-7s, 10,000 10-7s. It's not political discourse to tell Jews that they should be gassed. It's nothing. It's no free speech expression to say that Jews should go back to Poland, where 90% of the Jewish population was slaughtered during the Holocaust.
Yeah, let me lay out some more examples of how the left is now starting to consume itself. Mr. Deutsch understands this is something else that has been very predictable and easily identifiable, because once a bully is allowed to terrorize one group of people and gain power from it, the appetite for more becomes insatiable, this appetite for destruction. And that is exactly what is happening. The left is eating its own. The left is eating its own. Far-left Senator Tim Kaine, remember him? He gave another weakling answer about the radical takeover of college campuses by students supporting terrorism. Listen to this.
Do you think the Biden administration, the president, has a role to play in this moment in addressing what we are seeing in these college campuses?
Kristen, it's a really good question. And, you know, this is a tough one because people have a right to protest and make their views known. And almost, you know, overwhelming percentages of people do that peacefully. But there are those who intimidate or harass others. There are those who speak in hate speech or anti-Semitism. And so giving people the latitude to do what they ought to be able to do and also trying to curb unacceptable behavior is tough.
Yeah, and there are some people that speak in drivel. I don't speak drivel. That was a weak answer to something that should be very easy for the former VP nominee to lay out in strong terms, but instead he just waffles around because he fears the fringe in his own party. People like AOC and Ilhan Omar, among others, he fears them, as do most mainstream Democrats. Because here, another Democrat representative, Summer Lee, defends the anti-Semitic uprising all over America. Here's another perspective. Listen to this.
But this idea that every criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic is dangerous. There is a fair critique that we must make of every government, of every war, of every appropriation. And when we say that students who are engaging in the time-honored tradition of civil disobedience, of campus protests and action are inherently bad or inherently anti-Semitic, particularly as we see Jewish students standing in solidarity with Muslim students or Arab students and Black students, when you're on the ground, you see that all of those students have been working together or have been learning and educating together.
No, they've been learning together, all right, which is why they took over Hamilton Hall last night, which is why from campuses in California to New York and south to Texas and north to Michigan have been overtaken by these children. And of course, this mind virus that infects the kids was passed to them by anti-Semitic professors and teachers along the way. Make no doubt about it. They have been called and calling Israel an apartheid state, and gone so far as to compare the Jewish state to Nazi Germany, believe it or not, while at the same time dismissing the Holocaust as overstated or real at all. Yes, it is really a sad commentary on the state of affairs on America's college campuses, where we stand as we start this day. Yet another professor here equivocates about the level of hatred on university campuses. Listen to this.
Well, I do not think that genocidal discourse should be permissible on campus, because that would genuinely be intimidating for anybody targeted by that that discourse. But when I say that, when I feel it, and I do feel it as somebody who has been verbally and physically assaulted by anti-Semites, I just don't think there has been any genocidal talk at this encampment. I realize, all right, the exception would be the one thing that everybody has heard about, the young man who said that Zionists didn't have the right to live. He said this right 3 months before the encampment. He apologized for it afterwards. It was not representative of the things that I have heard in the encampment.
There's a guy that was standing in the gas chamber saying, you know, I just don't believe it. I think they're good kids. I don't think they said anything bad. Are you kidding? Talk about walking through life with blinders on. The Columbia War is about to go full scale. How about all those people that came over the southern border? We'll talk about that after the break. When it comes to investing, I'm always wondering, am I doing the right thing? And that's why I say you should always get a second opinion. This is Steve Gruber, and one of the people I ask about where to put my money is Nick Hopwood of Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth, Michigan. You see, Nick has over 25 years of investing experience and nearly $300 million under management. Plus, Nick and his team at Peak Wealth are fiduciaries, which means they invest in your best interest, not their own. Many advisors in the industry don't do any planning at all. As certified financial planners, the Peak Wealth team creates comprehensive, holistic financial plans based on your goals and what's important to you. Reach out to Peak Wealth for a second opinion today on your investments, fees, and to make sure you won't run out of money in retirement. By working with Nick, you can retire with peak confidence. Get your second opinion at peakwm.com/Gruber. That's peakwm.com/Gruber. Peak Wealth Management.
Tired of your dues paying for union politics? They try to hide it, but union bosses spend billions in dues every election cycle to fund a radical agenda that is out of touch with rank-and-file union workers. But there's good news. You can stop it. You don't have to pay for union politics. A Supreme Court case won by the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation means public employees can stop paying union dues completely. Exercise your rights and request free legal aid from the National Right to Work Foundation, nrtw.org/Michigan, nrtw.org/Michigan.
At the Michigan Chamber, we're here to help our state's businesses tackle the tough issues in the legislative, political, and legal arenas so job providers can grow and thrive. We pride ourselves on our hustle, making sure no one works harder or gets more done. That's why we've been voted the most effective membership organization for 18 years running. If there's an issue affecting you and your business, we're here to help. The Michigan Chamber, on the job for you, to protect, connect, and strengthen.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber or how to become a member, visit michamber.com.